morning we're going to start by playing a little game, because games are fun. For Clementine's birthday, she just wanted us to play games, because she knows her better than I do games a lot, which I thought was kind of weird, and her friends would think kind of weird, but did it work out okay? We're going to play a little game, a version of Never Have I Ever. How to play that game? Never Have I Ever. I'm sure Lacey knows, because it's like a middle school girl game. So usually you would just take your fingers and never have I ever, and anybody who had. So instead of doing that, since there's so many of us, I'm just going to have you all stand up or raise your hand or do something. If you don't want to stand, that's okay. Just go ahead and stand up, and we're going to sit down based on what you may have shared. Hope I'll try to get you out right away. Even though you have more experience than all the rest of us, so this may be difficult. But I'm curious about some things. I'm just going to kind of make these up off the top of my head. Let's see. This will probably get rid of maybe half of you, maybe. I don't know. If you've never been to an Ohio State football game, sit down. This is pretty incredible this many people have been to a Buckeyes game. I figured there was a lot. Ringley's, what's the... Even Mike Schreiber's been to a Buckeyes game. Hey, will somebody take the Ringley's to a football game this fall, please? I've lived here long enough. I think that they could... Even Ron Cole's been to a... Chris, have you never been to a game? He's always... All right, so I figured we'd have a lot. Hope, have you ever been to an Ohio State football game? Even Hope Richardson. See, I knew it would be hard to stump her. I figured all the years that she's got. She was given tickets. One of my favorite stories of Aweeda McVeigh is that she had tickets for the Snow Bowl. Yeah, she didn't get to go, but she had tickets for that. I was like, no one else cares. And Mike McKenna, you're going to be at all of them this fall, right? Aren't you going to be at all the games? Were you the one that I saw as a red coat? Oh, I hope you get down on the lower deck. I don't want you all the way up. All right, what about, let's see. I could say all kinds of things that would leave Mike Schreiber standing and no one else, probably. No, that's good, though. So, Mike, if you've never been on a train before, sit down. Most everybody's probably been on a train. Just like a train, I don't know. Pretty much everybody's been on a train. Girls, you have to sit down. You have never been to a Buckeyes game, so you have to just stay down. This isn't rocket science. Just sit down. How many of you have, if you've never been to the state of Alabama, sit down. If you're not sure, just sit down, Toby. So everyone's been to Alabama, huh? That's just kind of weird. I thought that would kind of... I'm trying to think of something that's not going to take everyone out. Let's see. If you never were at John and Kathy's house, sit down. That probably get a big bunch of you, but I know a lot of you are standing. All right. I'm going to take a picture for the Hutchinsons. They know who their friends were. All right. If you've never been to a Major League Baseball game, sit down. You probably all have been to baseball games. No, you don't get to sit back up. You got to stay down. Yeah, once you're down, you're down. Sorry, I should have clarified the rules. Christian, you ever been to a baseball game? Yeah, not big boy baseball. All right. If you've never...
Somebody get the Maynard to a baseball
game. I know. I'm doing this so we can see what we need to do for each other here. We need to reach out. We're brothers and sisters here. The Indy 5. Yeah, that might be... But you've never been to a Buckeyes game, Sherry. Come on, man. If you've never been to California, sit down. Anybody been to California? All right. I knew that'd probably get some. No, that doesn't count. No, come on. Airports, they all look the same. All right. Now the people that are going to be hard to get out of here. I'm guessing you're probably still standing too, aren't you, Hope? All these. Like, she's still with us. If you've never... I think I get everybody except for two, but I'm not going to do that yet. Let's see. This is challenging. Yeah, we'll have to schedule another Sunday for another topic than play. If you've never left the continent, sit down. If you've never been to Europe or overseas somewhere, sit down. Kathy? I think everybody else, you guys have all been. If you've never, I know this will get most of you. If you've never been to a World Series game, sit down. Pat and Kurt. Mike, you been to one? Man, you're so old. He's done so many things. I knew this was going to happen. What year did you go? You were at 40. Pat and Kurt, you should just sit down. I'm not going to be able to get something that you guys haven't done that Mike hasn't done. Yeah, how many of you have never been to a soccer game? Sit down. No. Oh, let's see. These are all pretty... Yeah, I knew. I was thinking of concerts that might... you guys, let's see. Anybody see the Beatles? Yes, Mike! I got one! Yeah, I figured. Mike McKenna, when did you see the Beatles? The 48 World Series, the 60s Beatles. All right, Mike McKenna is our champion. I think Mike's going to win everything. I should have known. When I saw Mike, I'm like, you guys are done. I don't know. Today, the topic is play. I don't know that you've ever heard a sermon on play. I don't know that I've ever seen a sermon on play. That was one of our 52 words. 52 words we've been working through this year. And I wonder if you were to lay them all out and look at them at once, if play would be the one that you go, nah, I'm not sure about that one. Not sure. And so we're gonna make the attempt to make sense of what the Bible has to say about play. I meant to bring my He-Man guys that I have, and I forgot them. Those are my... Anybody else have He-Man guys? Mike, that you're a little old for that. Chris probably did, yeah. Chris had the He-Man guys. Did you have He-Man? Play with them. Mom wouldn't let you have them. G.I. Joe? Toby? G.I. Joe goes... I was going to say, G.I. Joe goes back way further than me. I was never interested in G.I. Joe, but He-Man was my guy. What other toys did you guys have that was your favorites? What? Transformers were big, yeah. Transformers. Legos. Blake Dameron and his monster Legos collection. What? Barbies? That's what happens when guys preach all the time. You have girls that ever preach, and so you Barbies, dolls, Lincoln Logs are big. What were the... Tinker Toys, yeah, that was the other ones that were kind of like that. Which one? This is why we do this interactive, so it's just not Adam's perspective, because some of these things, I don't know. Sticks and Rocks. Monopoly. Oh, yeah, board game. Yeah, favorite board games. Monopoly. Life. Anybody like Life? Cecilia loves that game. I hate it. You can play like 8 different ways. Like there's super complicated ways to play where you're doing life insurance and all this other stuff. And we have a simple... You still like that game? Yes. Katie Schreiber, what's your favorite game to play? Sticks and Rocks. What about, Elizabeth, what about you? Favorite game? Monopoly. Monopoly's fun, but it's awfully difficult to play it all the way through, isn't it? Colton, what's your favorite? Battleship. The game Battleship? That's a good one. We like that one, too. That's pretty good. I think one of the best parts of being a parent is watching your kids play. And probably as a teacher and anybody who gets to work with kids, when kids really play, like when they're really into play, it's just great to just sit back and watch them play. You know, we have 3 kids, and Cecilia's curse, and I think most 3rd kids are like this, or 4th or 8th or however many you have, is they tend to want to grow up quicker because their older siblings are doing things, and so they want to move on. And one of the things we've tried to convey to you is just enjoy being a kid, right? Just enjoy playing. I think we talked about this last week. When your kids are inside or whatever, every parent forever has told their kids at some point, go play. Because there's something about being a kid that play makes them more of a kid than anything else they do, right? Like that's the thing that you're like, that's what makes you a kid. Everybody likes to buy toys for kids that are under like 10 because it's pretty simple. I mean, they're pretty they're pretty happy with anything they get for the most part. The box they'll play with, the toy inside they'll play with. And then when you turn 11, 12, 13, weird things start happening and you're not happy with anything and you hate everything and you know all that kind of stuff that comes with being a teenager. But we all like to play. Like there's something inherent in us about that feels at home when we play. And I really think it's a shame that we don't talk more about it in church. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about joy. A lot of things that have to do with play are going to overlap with joy. But we don't play enough when we come to church. I mean, just have fun. Don't take things so seriously. That's one of the things I love about our church is we play games, and that's okay. And what I'm trying to do when I preach messages like this is connect the things that we just did, which was just a fun game to get to know each other a little bit better, to our inherent being and worth in God's eyes. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. No, it does. Like when we play, just like our kids play, God delights in seeing his children play. And I want to make that point to you based on Genesis this morning. So believe it or not, we're going to talk about play and we're going to read the Bible. It's going to be amazing. First of all, I did want to mention this. So we have our four kind of core principles that we're working through this year. Family, part of something bigger, deep and real. Play falls under the category of real. And that is because part of what we're trying to do at our church is speak to real life. Like so often, you enter into a church and you go through the experience of worship and it doesn't seem anything like your real life. Like it's totally connected. And one of the things we want to work at is try to connect the things that we're doing, reading the Bible, understanding God's message, transforming ourselves in the likeness of Christ, but doing it in real life. Like we're not Amish. We're not saying we withdraw from life and then we experience spirituality there. No, we're saying in all of life we experience spirituality. And that is the case in play. So in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, the Bible says that the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it, or to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a suitable helper for him." Now, it's interesting about this passage because we've all read this a million times. And it's just loaded with big-time theology, right? And so we'll talk about things like, we'll talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and what in the world that was all about. And the fact that Adam and Eve, or at least Adam, was told that he could die. And how did he conceive of that? And what were the implications of that? And then we talk about the suitable helper, and it wasn't good for man to be alone. And all those things. But what's interesting is we tend to skip right over the very first line there where it says that the Lord God took the man, he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. One of the reasons we were created, or one of our essential purposes, is to work. I think so often Christians look at work as if it's a result of the fall. Like, oh, if it hadn't been for sin, we wouldn't have to work. This is before sin ever entered the world. God put us here to work. Work gives us our purpose. Gives us something to do. You can see this all the time when somebody loses work. It becomes a challenge for them, not because they need the money, although maybe that's part of it too, but really it's about the core of our being. What am I here to do? I need something to do. Some of you are approaching retirement. Pat Lucas is there. Randy's there. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do now, right? They're not going to just lay around on the couch all day. Well, maybe, I don't know, for a week or two, right? But there's something embedded in us that says, I got to do something. It's Memorial Day weekend. Everybody's going to be doing yard work. There's something about work. And when you work in the yard, Kurt, you were out yesterday, right? I mean, when you go to bed at night, don't you just feel better about yourself when you spent that time? We're tending Eden. We're doing what God put us here to do. Now, that's not play. We'll get there in a minute. But first of all, we want to assert that one thing we were created to do was to work. And work is not something we should avoid. Work is not something that we decry. There are parts of it, just like there are parts of everything that we despise, and that is kind of where sin trickles in. But underneath all of that, you're supposed to work. And when someone is disabled or someone's not able to work, there's exceptions always, and it's an assault on their personhood, right? Like I should be able to do this. I want to be able to do this, but I'm not able for whatever reason, because God has given us the innate desire and purpose to work. But what a lot of Americans need to be reminded of is that God didn't just create us to work. We have this kind of workaholic culture in America where people just work all these hours. But what happens on, really, we skipped over it. Earlier in Genesis, in chapter 2, verse 1, the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array, and by the seventh day, God finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And if you go on and read Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's where the Ten Commandments are given, and we all know that one of the Ten Commandments was to keep the Sabbath, to keep it holy, because you weren't made just to work. You were also made to rest. To Shabbat is the Hebrew word. It just means to rest, in kind of a musical stand, where it just means to pause, to withdraw. What does God do on the seventh day? He stops creating, and he takes a look back, and he just takes it in, right? You do this when you're mulching your yard. You're just all caught up in the smells of the mulch, and go on, and then you step back at the end of the day, and you just appreciate what it is. Just like an artist who's making a painting, Dave, right? When you're done with the painting, you step back at it. I mean, this is going to happen all week at work camp. I'm going to be so focused on getting these kids to be, get the corners and get this, and all you see for 4 days is all the stuff that needs to be done. And then on the fifth day, we go back, and we take a step back and look at the house and go, yeah, did a pretty good job, right? And you put the before and after. That's what Sabbath is. Sabbath is just stopping and enjoying it. It's being reminded of God's presence in all of this. And so work are things, and I made this list up off the top of my head of just some quick things that cover all of life, several aspects of life. Work is in accounting and landscaping. It's the assembly line. It's household duties and taking care of your kids. It's plumbing, upper management, and on and on and on we could go, right, with all the things that are work. And rest, what does it mean to rest? How do we Sabbath today? How do we Sabbath today? Well, we sleep. We watch television, right? Sabbath is kind of television. It's kind of this mindless activity, right? The Bible teaches you to watch television. Let that sink in for a little while. It's prayer. It's meditating. It's journaling, singing. That's what rest is, right? It's getting away from work. You guys know I built some furniture in the past, and there have been times, especially doing a hobby like that where you're trying to carve out time to do it, and it's really late in the night, and you're just working, you've been working for a long time. And have you ever done something like, it can happen in the garden or in the yard, it can happen anywhere, where sometimes you just got to call it. Mike, you probably have this all the time, where you just got to stop working, and you go back the next day after you've rested, and you can do everything that you did in 2 hours in about 15 minutes because you're refreshed, you're clean, your mind is clear. Like you see this kind of symbiotic relationship between rest and work. Like you need both. If all you do is rest, you become overweight and unhealthy and tired all the time and depressed and all those things. If all you do is work, you become stressed out and you have heart attacks and your blood pressure is up and all the things. Somehow we find a balance, right? And I just kind of wonder if somewhere in the middle there aren't a lot of other activities like these. Sports, video games, board games, hiking, making crafts, drawing, photography, running, art. Is that not the activities that we do to play? Like, they're not really work. I mean, some people get to do that for work, but most of us don't. We would call them hobbies, leisure activities. They're what we do in our free time. And they are as much as rest and as much as play. They're life-giving. I mean, they just make you so refreshed. Now, you can't play sports all the time and say, oh, I'm rested, let me go back to work. So it's not quite the same. It falls kind of in between. Video games, you don't get to just watch video games and go, oh, I'm Sabbathed out. You're right, you have the mental capacity that's going on, right? Right, Deb? Like, video games is stimulating a lot of things going on. That's what's different about rest. Rest is kind of withdrawing totally. Play is somewhere in between. There's an author that says that these kind of activities are the most fundamental in life. I mean, when I read that list and you could add some of your hobbies and interests, like, that's what gives me life, isn't it? Like, that's what I live for. And I live for my work, and I love to be physically active and all those things, but it's my hobbies, it's my interests, it's the things that I get to play at. It's what makes me feel like a kid again, right? Our hobbies change as we evolve and get older, but that's how we play. We play through our hobbies and our interests. And we're all different, and we have different ones. And I want to make the case that God delights in watching you play, just like you delight in watching children play. It's the same thing. It's where we get to kind of be co-creators with God. Play is about creating. It's about creating new things. This is hilarious. If I had time, I would have shown this. Clark's not here, which is even more funny. So a couple years ago, we had this old digital camera that our kids, we just let them play around with or whatever. So a couple years later, we were going back and unloading a bunch of the pictures and videos that were on it. Well, Clark, and this was probably 3 or 4 years prior, Clark had taken his dinosaurs and he had created this epic battle where he'd videoed them. And it was so hilarious. And we never knew they existed, but like 4 or 5 years later, and he's making all the sounds and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, man, we always talk about the loss of innocence in kids. And you're like, I wish they could just stay that way. And there's a lot of things that come with the baggage of being older that you would do away with. But we still play, right? I mean, the change is this morning. He's playing a baseball game. We find ways to play. There's an author back in the 1930s who coined the concept of, we all know humans as Homo sapiens. But he talked about Homo ludens, which is beings that play. That's one of our fundamental identities as creatures of God, that we fundamentally play. It's interesting over the last few years how play has entered into a lot of workplaces. Have you read about some of the, especially the West Coast, Silicon Valley companies where they have, bikes and swing sets and all kinds of stuff in their work environment because management's realizing that, like, we need a place to rest and vacation time, but we also, amidst our time together working, need an outlet to play. Different concept. In Ecclesiastes' famous passage, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to refrain, to gather them in. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. He doesn't specifically mention play, but aren't there a lot of activities that he says, hey, there is a time to dance. There is a time to laugh. And I don't know that there's any one message to take away from today other than the fact that when we have to look at our lives and constantly address the balance that we have in our lives, that it's kind of a threefold balance in our lives. There should be a time for us to work, and there's a time for us to rest, and we have to make time to play. And there's a lot of people I meet that I'm like, dude, you need a hobby. Like, have you ever thought, like, you need something to do for fun? And it's a biblical thing. It's a theological entity. We were created for that. And so when you take any of those things away from us, the scales get out of whack, then our lives begin to exemplify flaws. From physical, actual physical and mental challenges to a host of others. And I wonder if maybe the message that we need, this is something I think that evolves as you get older. Teenagers probably don't need to hear the message they need to play more. They probably need to start learning more about work. But as you get older, don't forget about play, right? Don't forget about play. Remember when you were a kid. Remember when you were young. It's still good and life-giving to play. I'll tell you something cool as we close that I have discovered. When the kids and I go to school in the morning, when I take them to school, if we ride our bikes, we go through the park. And there's a lot of people at the park when the weather's warm. A lot of senior and retired folks who play pickleball. Anybody play pickleball? Mike, of course. Play that in the 30s with Babe Ruth or something? I don't know. Pickleball is a great game. And the Reynoldsburg Church on Wednesday nights during the summer is, in lieu of their Wednesday night services, they're just having kind of a neighborhood get-together. And Dion was telling me that they're playing pickleball. Last summer they played pickleball, and he said it was the coolest thing. And if you know what pickleball is, Mike, what is it? You kind of play, it's like tennis, but you play with a bigger... Kind of like playing ping pong when you're standing on the table, right? Like if you were able to do that. But it's not as duressing as tennis is. Like, you don't have to run quite as much. So it kind of levels the playing field, so older folks can play with younger folks. Kids can play with grandparents. And Dion said it's the coolest thing, because that was happening at Reynoldsburg, because we had kids playing with their parents and their grandparents, and it was just interacting. And it's something that should happen more often, right? Like it tends to be the kids play and the parents come and watch, and then parents go play by themselves, you know, at another facility or something like that. But I think when we're drawn together to play together, there's great things happen. It was interesting the night that we had that area-wide a couple weeks ago. You remember that, Randy? We got here, and everybody was just kind of staring at each other, and there's not a lot of people that know each other. And I just said, let's just play some goofy game. And so we played a goofy game, and the very next song that we sang, it was completely different. Like, it was just completely different. And it was because everybody was able to just relax and have fun and enjoy life, which is what we're called to do. So this morning, my message is pretty simple. Find time this week to work, to play, and to rest. I believe the Sunday after work camp, my word is rest, because I just figured that I'll just get up here and just not say much and just say, well, we need more rest. But all of those are crucial. And at different times in our lives, we're kind of lacking in one. And I don't know where you may be lacking. You got to look at your own life this week. But it's a good time to talk about play. It's Memorial Day weekend, and it's kind of time to play this summer. Another way we play is when we sing. And so I'd invite you this morning, stand with us as we sing this last song. And I go turn the water off before the baptistry.